Hebrews 10:25. I've been speaking with our people that help us with the sound here, and hopefully by in a couple weeks we'll have a cup around my tie so you can hear everything. I guess that some people were trying to listen, and I had about 7 minutes. I was away from this microphone, and they couldn't hear it, and they had to crank it all up, and then when I came back, about blew their earballs out, amen. So, but anyway. So we're trying to work at that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together.
When you said that,
not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. So it sounds like there's a problem, amen? As their manner of some is. Some people have this manner. They don't come to church when the church door's open. So the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And then explains what we're supposed to do, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'd like to ask you this question. Do you believe Jesus Christ is coming back soon? Tell me you believe that. And why don't you come to church every service? That's what the Bible says. The Bible says... Not for, you all raised your hand, so now I know who you are. Amen. The Bible says, not forsaking yourselves. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. There's a forsaking that's going on. And it's the fact that people just really don't believe that Jesus Christ is coming back. He really is. Whether you like it or not, he's coming back. And you see signs of all kinds of things out there that just kind of put us on edge. We see terror. The Bible talks about the last days are given terror, rumors of war, and starvation and pestilence. That's bugs and things like that. All kinds of things. And we're finding out that saving the bald eagle is also depleting our food source because of bugs. Amen. And we used to do a thing called DDT. And they're finding out now that this green, the way you clean your carpets, they're making your animals sick. And so I figure if it makes an animal sick, it's certainly not good for me. But there's a lot of things going on, and you know that. And so the Bible says, if you know those things, you go out. And you exhort. The word exhort here is a very strong word. And urgently instructing or warning. You're warning people, said, hey, don't miss church. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's important for you to get it. Amen. If it's just for the fellowship, it's worth it. If it's just for the singing, it's worth it. If it's just for the reading of the Word of God, it's worth it. Hopefully the preacher's got enough sense in his heart and his mind to give you something he can take home with you, amen. And he can say, you know what, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. So I want to talk to you about the local church tonight. Be real in 2013. In March, we're being real in our local church. This is the place that we come to. This is the place that we hook on. This is the place we anchor into. Andrew Matthew and his wife and a little girl, Valentina, right? Oh, what a beautiful thing. They just stopped in church. Daddy's a missionary, been a missionary at Heritage Baptist Church for a long time, Matthew family. They're the family, their little sister was burned in that terrible accident. I'm glad we have a church at Heritage Baptist Church that hasn't quit. And they got a place to come when he's in the Air Force, and he comes to Great Falls, and he calls his daddy. He said, Daddy, what do you think? And he said, man, go see up Brother Shearer, amen. I'm glad of that. Then I'd cut his check, man. But anyway. But, you know, seriously, we need a place to come to. I said to him, I said, hey, Andrew, I said, is there anything we can do for you? Listen, when you move into town, boy, there's a lot of things go on and a lot of things you just don't know and things like that. And we as a church can rise up. Last week, Nathan Gross's grandma passed away. And I called him. I said, hey, Nathan, I said, hey, buddy, I said, do you want to come home? We'll make it happen. We're church. You got a need, we're going to try to make it happen. Now, if you're, you know, if you want to buy that brand new four-wheeler or 4x4 or something, we're probably going to say, get a job, amen. But if it's an emergency, we want to make sure we want to help you and we want to be there for you. God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Help us realize that there are some pretty good reasons why we belong to a church. Now, our good reasons that you said to. So, Lord, bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Why do I want to join a local church? Well, it's not because it's perfect. If you join a perfect church, you just ruined it. Amen. Yep. It's not perfect. We're not perfect. All of us make mistakes. We'll yak at each other. We'll get upset with each other. We'll tell each other what we think, hopefully. Amen. And tell the truth. We'll be kind to one another, but church is not perfect. That's not why you join it. Number two, it's not because it makes you perfect. Church membership is serious business. Amen. It's there's no perfect Christian in the world. Paul the Apostle had a few little failings. Peter had a few failings. Andrew had a few failings. On and on, down through the scriptures, you know. There are things in this world that we just don't have, and we're not perfect. It's kind of like a family. Everybody in your family is not perfect. You figured that one out yet? Yeah, somebody's got an Aunt Susie or Aunt Dolores or Aunt Wilma or somebody. Or Uncle Charlie. Somebody out there has got somebody that, you know, my son Chad and Marcia and the boys were up in Michigan. And he met one of my cousins. And he said, Dad, he said, man, strange. I said, hello, welcome to the family, son. In all these years, he didn't think that she existed, but she does, amen. And but we love her, and we put up, I guess that's the word, put up with her, amen. And all of us have some kind of quirk. All of us have some kind of spin in our life that we just, you know, I'm amazed at some people that, you know, certain things they won't eat and certain things they won't do and certain things, you know, why is that? Well, because. And then they go into this big lingo and you're going like, okay, your elevator does not go all the way to the top. Join a local church is not for the sake of amusement, though it is very amusing sometimes when you meet some of the members. Church membership is very serious business. Very serious. Not to gratify friends, for courtesy cannot cover hypocrisy, amen. I want to join that church because my friends go there. Not to advance worldly interests, for material motives are out of place in our spiritual affiliations and activities. I know some people join church because they have their little company, their little, what was the name of that thing they used to have, Amway. I had a family come to our church one time and they said they wanted to join. And once they joined, I see they were having people over the house all the time. And one family says, you know, preacher, I went over their house and they invited us to come over and eat and everything. All they did was chalkboard and telling us what they could do and how much money we could make. That's not why you join a church. I told him when you, I went and talked to him. I said, this is the way it is. I don't want you to bother the people at Heritage Baptist Church. If you want to go out and invite people to your house, that's fine, but don't you go taking advantage of people because they're members of the Heritage Baptist Church. There are some people that really take advantage. I have a letter in my office. Someone take advantage of people. Go around and hit different people for money and hit different people for things. Kind of interesting. That's not what the church is about. And may I tell you that it is the responsibility of the person with the money to hear from God to tell them who to give to. Not the person that doesn't have the money to tell the rich person what they ought to give to. You all know that? Yeah. Okay. When one is converted, he should join the church because, number one, God demands it. The Word declares that it is our duty to confess one's relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, to be baptized, observe the Lord's Supper, and keep unspotted from the world. And we have wronged the Lord when we do not confess Him, and we do not confess Him in a local environment, we deny Him. Number two, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we should join the church because conscience prompts us to. For love inspired and gratitude impels and loyalty calls for it. Moreover, the interests of a Christian insist upon, for thus alone it ensures our one truest safety, highest joy, and widest usefulness. Come together in the church, okay, I'm here. Number one, it gives me safety. Pastor, you have a pastor that says, no, you shouldn't do that. Or pastor, you should be careful about that. Or pastor says, you know what, I wouldn't go there if I was you. I talked to a family a while back. I told him, I said, don't move. I said, anytime you move, it's going to cost you $2,000 to $3,000 to move. And if you move lately, you understand what I'm talking about. And I said, secondly, I said, you don't know if you got a good church to go to. I mean, they didn't make no, provisions of that. If you're going to move, I believe, God's going to, when God moves you, you're going to have a good church to go to. Amen. You need a good church. It's Bible. And on and on and on. And they're in trouble. And they've been there, I don't know, a couple years, 3 years maybe. And got a call and said, oh, pastor, I got a call today, got a text today. And can I read it for you? You wouldn't know him for the most part. Bam, preacher. Listen to this now. There isn't a Sunday that goes by that I don't think about you. I miss getting to talk to you. I also want to thank you for everything you have done and unknowingly still do for our family and myself. They haven't found a family yet. They don't have a pastor. You know who their pastor is? Me. Can I help them? Not very well. I can't grab a hold of him and jack slap him into tomorrow. I can't come over and say, hey, this is what you need to do. Can I? No. Sometimes people forget how important it is to have a local church. They forget how important it is that your preacher knows you. I know a lot of your capabilities. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but bless God, I'll tell you what, I know a lot of you and what you're capable of and what you're not capable. And I don't want you to get hurt. And I don't want you to go off someplace and all of a sudden blow it. Amen. Geographical changes do not change spiritual things in your life. I don't care if you move down to Florida. I don't care if you move to Texas. Have mercy. I don't care if you move to Alabama, Louisiana. I don't care if you move to Michigan, New York, wherever. I'll guarantee you who you are, who you is. And where you are, that's where you'll be. And there's a lot of people today that have no idea. They think, boy, if I can just go here, if I can just go there, if I can just get a better job. Don't you think God will take care of you at $2? $10,000. I've seen people get a big job and all of a sudden there's a big hole in their Christianity. They don't serve God at all anymore. They don't have a church. They don't have a pastor that says, hell, get back in the line. That's what the Bible says. Preachers are supposed to be keeping them in line. Get back in step. Well, the church craves. When we get saved, the church craves believers in the church. The first winning of the lost, first to Christ and then to His church, and center His prayer and services and pleading and liberality and energy under that church. That's our responsibility. This is the place we can come. Of course, everyone should understand that joining a church is not merely having one's name inscribed in a church register, not as a formal observance of an ordinance. It means a union with other Christians. It means fellowship. I tell you what, I think the Hawaiians got it. Boy, they come, and I know they don't start on time, but praise the Lord, they sure have good fellowship, amen. And they're laughing and giggling and having a good time, and you know, I think sometimes we scream in here on two wheels, get in church, come in late, leave early, amen. Prayer. Who'd you pray for last week? Hopefully the members of our church. Hopefully you're praying that for some of our folks that are sick, some of our folks that have some big decisions in their lives to make. In planning. Planning what to do in our lives, in our effect, in efforts. Hey, you know, I can't do it, but boy, if I get four or five guys in it last Wednesday night, we had all that stuff out there for the bus, and all of a sudden I started recruiting. you, can you help me? I need this done. We need to take care of it. Within, what, a half hour? It's all done. Brother Terry or me or somebody around here would have spent a week trying to get all that in there. That's the thing about this church. We work together. We band together. And then here's something I never saw before. But the world expects us. The world expects us to belong to something. We call ourselves a Christian. Christians are to belong to church. I hear there's maybe 10 years ago, started out, it's called a house church. And a lot of families having the house church. Daddy was the preacher, Mama was the organist, and the kids were whatever. And they're having a church. That's unbiblical. How can you go into all the world and preach the gospel if you just dad and mom and kids? Sure nice we get a conglomerate of people and come together and we become strong and we work together, amen. I was going to do that. I'm not going to. But I remember when I was in high school, four of us guys were going to pick up our coach, and our coach was a great big old Marine guy. And all of us used one finger. And two guys put it under his knees and two guys under his arm, and we picked that guy up on three. That was the most amazing thing I ever seen in my life. We're working together to do the things for God. The world expects it. For if one takes a stand for Christ, everybody expects him to show his colors. Amen? You're out telling something about Jesus Christ Saturday. And I want to tell you about Jesus. And I want to tell you about how you ought to live for Christ. And they say, where do you go to church? Well, we don't have a church. The world expects you to have a church. The world may not love your church, but they expect you to have their church. The essential truth concerning the church of Christ is to be found in the Word of God, nowhere else. And we take our stand from the Word of God. And we decline to read the New Testament and the glasses of church history in order to learn the essential truth. We word to God. It's Scripture alone. And only our rule of faith and practice can only come from the Word of God. This is not a goofy thing. This is true. This is what the Bible said. Heritage Baptist Church is truly a local church. This is not just something we just throw together and say, well, let's just have a good time here. We run those buses for one reason. That's to win people to Jesus Christ. Amen. We send missionaries to win people to Jesus Christ. I was thinking, Bruna, I was thinking, sister, that if your daddy wouldn't have gone, it's because the Heritage Baptist Church helped send you. You got a husband, amen. And you got a little baby now.
Amen.
That church is a wonderful thing, amen. What happened, though? Richard Matthews went over to Brazil and started a church with a whole bunch of little kids. And now they're spread all over the world. But he's outdoing what God had. But how did he do that? He started through his local church. Essentially, if you don't understand how important local church is, you're lost. It's just a hard thing for you to understand. Since the Bible is our rule of practice for the Christian, therefore, isn't it not reasonable that we should look in the Scriptures only for the definition of local church? The New Testament church, we have two distinctions of the word ecclesia. One distinction is we're really far smaller. It's really restricted into the fact that the church at Ephesus and Colossians, there was a group of churches that came around. Likewise, the church of the body, which the body of Jesus Christ they had. We talk about the churches, ecclesia. But the most prominent distinction of the word church, ecclesia, great bulk of references refers to a church, single body of believers, meeting together locally in various populated areas in the Asia Minor and Southern Europe. And, these churches came together. Most of the epistles were written to certain churches, amen. And the fact that the epistles of Paul were written to these local visible churches, the book of Revelation, as written to seven individual churches, addressing seven local individual churches, seven local pastors, to the angel or to the messenger of the church. That's the pastor, angel. That is really funny. Paul was sent on his first mission journey from what? From the church of Antioch. They separated him. The churches had two officers, pastors and deacons. They observed the two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, and they're independent and self-governing. Heritage Baptist Church does not tell Brother Matthews how to run his church in Brazil. The church in Brazil does not tell our church how to run its affairs. The church at Heritage Baptist Church does not tell those, how many, five or six churches in Nepal. They run independently. They have a pastor. And they're doing what God told them to do. Hallelujah, amen. And the church, the local church, consists of born-again believers voluntarily meeting together for worship, ministering of the ordinances and proclamation of the gospel. The truth concerning the invisible church, which is made up of born-again believers regardless of race, standing, or preference, is a wonderful blessing we all thank God for. And we must agree that due to its very nature, the universal church has never the intent of God that it is used to carry out the work of the age. The universal church does not carry it out. Universal church does not have a bunch of buses. Universal church doesn't have a bunch of soul winners. The local church does. We have the responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Just logic itself proves the point. The universal church. God gave a call to call out assembly of baptized believers. Well, I'm coming to a universal church. I need to get baptized. I can't find the pastor of the universal church. But I can come down to Heritage Baptist Church and I can get baptized. Amen. That program is the Great Commission to preach the gospel, baptize converts, teaches converts, the whole counsel of God. That's really what we're doing here for. Preach the gospel. Get people saved. Baptize those converts who confess that Jesus Christ is their Savior. And then teach them. That's the job. And it's not a hard job. What does the Bible say? The Scripture teaches us that every born-again Christian should be a member of the New Testament local church. 9 of Paul's letters were addressed to local churches. 3 pastoral epistles were written to those who had the oversight of the local church. New Testament teaches that church was given by God for worship, fellowship, ministering ordinance, and proclaiming the Word of God. The church is responsible for the care of widows, the fatherless, place of service for a church Christian. Our church is here that we would work out of. Some people think that they did their thing. They came to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. What'd you do? Well, I heard the preacher preach. No, I didn't say that. I said, what did you do? Well, I said hi to people. Okay, that's nice. What's your job? If I ask you right now, take out a piece of paper, put your name at the top of that paper, put the date on it, and tell me what you do at Heritage Baptist Church. Chewing my cough drop. So what do you do? I know some kids come up to church Sunday morning and they fold bulletins. Whether you know it or not, that's a big deal. That's their job. Big job. Some go back there and work the nursery. Change your kids' stinky pants, amen. That's a blessing. Sure is a blessing for a preacher. They're not in here yelling, amen. Some come and work on buses. Some come and clean. Some come and teach Sunday school class. That's a big deal. What do you do? Well, Pastor, I'm not very good with things, but I want you to know that every day I pray for our church over 40, 50 minutes, 60 minutes a day. Boy, I sure take that. I'd sure take that. I know every night before my wife and I go to bed, or when she's in bed, I get in bed with her and we pray. And we pray for our widows of our church. And I will promise you that every night you are prayed for by your pastor's wife and your pastor. At least. You're prayed for. I don't know about you, but I certainly want somebody praying for me. Amen. The Bible said don't forsake. Number one, God has not forsaken her church. God has not forsaken his church. The church has its conception in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. It provided by the Son in his death on the cross of Calvary. The church had its birth at the advent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And no human organization can ever, now, will ever replace the local church. It is God's. Jesus said the church is bought with a price. What is the price? Death on the cross. The shedding of blood. Amen. No human mind can ever conceive an organization better equipped to carry out the Great Commission. You can't figure it out. People try to do a better job, but I'll tell you what, the old Baptist churches, man, that's still around, still preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is still the best way. They can't figure it out. No Christian will find sweeter fellowship anywhere else. No more satisfying service than a God-ordained, Christ-honoring, Holy Spirit-led church. You can't find it. You just can't find it. Now, there are some people who want to spoil it. There are some people who want to get in and gripe and complain and just be upset about everything that goes on, and they're the most critical person in the world. I've never met a happy, critical person, number two. I've never met a person who was critical that reads their Bible every day and pray. I've never met one. I've never met a whiner that reads his Bible and prays every day. Now I know in life, there's some things that happen in our lives that we tear up and we cry. And we look at some things that are not the way it used to be. And life is tough sometimes. Most times. If that man's in the Bible, that woman's in the Bible, that man's in prayer, and that woman's in prayer, I'll guarantee you, they believe and trust God and know that God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes of what's happening in your life. And you say, but Pastor, I don't understand that. Well, the Bible did say we see through glass darkly. But when we see Him face to face, then we will know. Life is not as exciting sometimes as we think it should be. And life sometimes spirals down and we're just about ready to pull the parachute cord and things get a little bit better. It's just it's living by faith, not by sight. Things we can't understand. He's there. That's why He has the local church. So we can come together and cooperatively come together and love each other and encourage each other. And when one's having a bad day, the other one's having a good day. Well, they told me, my wife and I, our first marriage, said, don't ever have a bad day, both of you, at the same time. Three-fourth cord is hard to break. Husband, wife, Holy Spirit, amen. Pretty hard to break that, amen. Troubles come. If you don't have them yet, you will have them. You trust the Lord. Now, the founding of the church, in essence, the Lord clearly establishes society, ecclesia, which means the call out assembly of baptized believers. The word ecclesia comes, call out assembly, is used to describe the church, a particular city met in a particular place. Romans chapter 16, 1 through 5, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Caesarea, that ye receive her in the Lord and become as saints, and that ye assist her in whatever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have laid down their lives, their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches in Galatia, or of the Galatia, Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in the house, in their house. Salute my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruit of Achaia unto Christ. Ecclesia, call out assembly of baptized believers, the church universal, regarded as a collection, some aggregate of the local church. 1 Corinthians 10:32, give not offense neither the Jews or the Gentiles, nor the church of God. And so that's it talks about the church of God. Our lives don't want to ruin or hurt other churches, amen. We want to be careful. We're careful what we do. I'll tell you what, boy, things come up and people go against the principle of God. I talked to a family last night, and they said that their pastor had to leave. And I said, no, why? I said, well, got a couple of deacons didn't like him. Talked to a man this morning, told me the same thing. Brethren, that should not all be. We're in this job for one thing, not ourselves, for Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to work together so that we can get something done around here, amen. Listen, you get mad at something, you take off. I like what Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said. Somebody was talking about marriage. And somebody said, Dr. Bob, did you ever think about divorcing your wife? He said, I never thought about divorcing my wife, ever. I sure thought about killing her a few times, but never divorce. If you ran away every time you have a problem at your home, you'd never be home. working together. I may do something, see something, and you may not see it, and you may not think it should be done, but I figured it ought to be done, and I did it. And you don't like it. Well, let's talk about it. Let's get it done. Who cares? Who cares who gets the... Ronald Reagan, he had a bunch of people who were fussing in the... staff meeting. And boy, he ran her back and said, "Hey!" He said, "We got something done around here if you didn't worry about who was going to get all the credit for it. Who cares? We're all supposed to be little servant boys and servant girls for Jesus, servant girls for Jesus Christ. Amen." The Bible talks about this called out assembly of baptized believers. Where did it begin? Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Peter standing up with the 11, lift up a voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken unto my word." Christ was preached. Christ was accepted by faith. Christ was confessed in baptism. And Christ added penitent believers to the church. The function of a local church, called out assembly of baptized believers, the function, the real reason it exists, it is Christ's work, not mine, not yours, it's Christ's work, who made provision for our association among those in Christ. His instructions were to continue steadfast in fellowship. Yes, fellowship. We're supposed to fellowship one with another. This should be the best friends we have in the world right here, Heritage Baptist Church. And you got some good friends that aren't, bring them over, amen. Called a guy the other day, today, and I said, "Hey, man, you coming to church?" "Well, I'm gonna." "Yeah," I said. "Well," I said, "how about Easter?" I said, "I work nights, you know." And I said, "You know, you need to come." Talk to the guy who does the sound stuff. I told him, I said, "Hey, you got to come to church at least one time in the year. Why don't you come on for Easter?" "Yeah, I saw it. Get you there, man." Put them little barbs into me, man. Fellowship, baptism, Lord's Supper, worship, prayer. Everything written in Acts about the local church points to a community bound by a spiritual tie. The community expressing common life and simple life, yet adequate form. The extension of the local church. 1 Corinthians 10:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain of the Lord." Life in Christ comes salvation. After salvation comes the love of Christ, keeping the commandments, keeping his baptism. After our love for Jesus Christ comes the labor of Christ, abounding in the work of the Lord, preaching and administration of biblical ordinances, building the believers with diverse gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." There's something for each member to do at your church. For instance, George Patras. If I name that name, most people didn't know him. He's a good guy. He works drywall, paints. Last Sunday, we saw that he was doing something here, didn't we? Huh? Remember that patch over here and the patch up there? Where's that patch now? You don't know he did it. You don't even hardly know him. You ought to get to know him. You ought to make sure that they know they're loved here at Heritage Baptist Church. They're doing something. Under the radar. Amen. You are left on earth to do something. You're not here to drink water and use God's oxygen for nothing. You're here to serve. You're here to be a servant. Not to be served, but you're here to be a servant. There are people out there that really need you. That really need you. So, quit breathing air unless you want to do something about it. Amen. Soul winning and ushers and nursery workers and bus workers and musicians and Sunday school teachers and officers and janitors. All kinds of opportunity of service. God knows what you can do. And you can do anything that God wants you to do. And He'll provide for you to do those things. There are people that every week need a ride to church. I think we'll be surprised when we get to heaven and God starts passing out these gifts to us, these awards to us. I think we'll be surprised. Number three, the form of the church is unity. Hello, unity. Based on possession of spiritual life, love with a pure heart. Showed off by endeavoring to keep unity in the Spirit and the bond of grace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope and your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. One body, one Spirit, one love, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all. All these records are found in Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse chapter through chapter 4. This is the working, authentic church. If you're going to be a pastor, you ought to read Acts over and over and over and over. And 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus. Read over and over and over and over. And you almost ought to memorize it. That's a record you find. You should not have a church that does not point to the beginning of Christ. We are to preach Christ, crucified, risen, coming again. Paul the Apostle said, that's all I know. Until He takes us home. That, my friend, is what the local church is all about. Nothing more, nothing less. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal, but it's not a hard thing to understand. God wants it to be part of the local church. And God wants us to keep that local church united and in fellowship and unity to strong and strengthen. And if you find yourself pulling away from the main ship of that local church and saying, I'm doing my own thing, you better get back. You better get back on board. Last week when we were in Hawaii, we had a great big love boat. But anyway, great big boat. Huge thing. My wife and I were sitting at a restaurant. We were watching it. And we were sitting in the bay there. And all of a sudden, that big old boat come on. And I noticed something on that boat. Guess what they had? They had little boats on it. These little boats are all set up there. Isn't that nice? Little rescue boats. What do you think crew members said? You know what? I'm going on my own way. I'm just going to get in my boat. I'm going the same way. But I'm just going to get out and get in my own little boat. What do you think of that person? Y'all hear what he said? He said, idiot. I don't know where you get that stuff. Shame on you. But anyway. We're going to go on our own. We work together. We've got a job to do. We've got one reason we're going, and what is that? To win people to Jesus Christ, to baptize them, and teach them to observe all the things of the Word of God. That doesn't sound very hard, does it? So somebody has got to take that bull by the horn and say, hey, this is where we're going. This is what we're going to do. This is what we need to do. Because that's what the Bible says. The local church is not a hard thing. It's pretty simple. We come together. Church, for most people, is this. Preacher says howdy. Song, prayer, song, choir, announcements, offering, song, Bible reading, preach, invitation, go have some popcorn, amen. That's just about it, amen. That's really not where it is. That's when we come together to really enjoy our fellowship together, amen. It's time we come together when a preacher has the opportunity to teach and to train and say, this is what the Bible says. If the Bible doesn't say it, got a problem, don't we? There's some things in the Bible that doesn't say, but they're convenient for us. We do them. But let's live for God. Let's know this old book. Let's be the people of the book. Read it and pray. You remember what I said way back there? I said, I've never met a person that's critical. I've never met a person that's critical that reads his Bible and prays every day. But I sure met a lot of critical people. Careful what you say. Careful what you do. It influences people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray tonight. You'd help us, Lord Jesus, to live for you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to understand that the Word of God is truth to us, and that's where we find what we're supposed to be doing. Not because of what other people did in years past, but what does the Bible say? Lord, I pray tonight that you'd speak to our hearts and help us, Lord Jesus, to give ourselves publicly to you. And help us realize that there is a great day coming. And the bride of Christ will meet the groom. Oh my, what a day that's going to be. Help us be faithful to your church. Lord Jesus, you told us. Oh Father, you told us how that we ought to love you. And keep your commandments. And that's how we show that we love you. Speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name. Hey, it's about as you close the house. You're standing here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that. Peter's going to play. You come right now and say, preacher, I want to be sure I'm saved. I want to make sure that I know for sure if I die today, I go to heaven. Here it is, and you say, preacher, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? Take care of that tonight. Here tonight, you say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. We want to be part of a church like this. You come at this time.